that charge-off provision. What we're trying to do in the bill is to make it a little easier for agencies to collect amounts that are owing, so we don't have so many that wind up kind of in a holding pond, just sitting, not ever being charged off, but not ever being collected either.
You lost me.
Did I lost you?
Yes.
Okay, and maybe I can go back. Mr. Chairman, there's a collections unit that was created in the Oregon Department of Revenue, and part of its responsibility is to assist other agencies in collecting amounts that are due and owing to them that aren't voluntarily paid. And the state agency can assign to the Department of Revenue, like as a collection agency, basically, those debts that are liquidated. It's determined the amount of the debt. The person who owes the money has had their opportunity to appeal the determination of how much they owe or the fact that they owe it. And these are then assigned to the Department of Revenue. The department has a professional collection staff that uses many ways of obtaining collection. They set up payment programs that they will contact the person who owes the money to try and get payment to be made. There is a provision also in the statutes that if an agency assigns a debt and that individual has a refund coming, say an income tax refund, that the Department of Revenue is to notify the state agency that has assigned the debt that this person does have a refund and should it be set off against the debt that they owe the state. And so that is a tool that the Department of Revenue uses on behalf of the state agency. One thing that the department cannot do right now is use garnishment or levy and execution without going through a court proceeding. And so if the amount of money is relatively small, it would cost too much to get the Attorney General's office to go into court and get judicial process in order to go through a garnishment process to try to reach some assets if there is no tax refund, say, coming and the person's not willing to pay voluntarily. And one aspect of the bill, the amendments on page 4 to ORS 293-250 would permit the Department of Revenue to issue a warrant for the collection of that debt, and the issuance of the warrant would permit the agency then to use the administrative garnishment proceeding that's available under ORS 29375. Would be able to go to a bank, say that had a bank account for this individual, or to go to the employer and to garnish the bank account for the wages in order to collect the debt that was owed to the state. And it could do that for these other agency accounts that have been assigned to it.
And that
money is remitted back to the agency to which it was owed.
And that's any amount, regardless how large or how small?
Yes, any amount that's been assigned. It's not an expensive process because they don't have to go through a judicial proceeding in order to get the money.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Donovan.
That in itself would be a major policy issue, wouldn't it? That isn't a cleanup, that's a policy issue. Oh.
The bill provides generally that an order or warrant has been recorded creates a lien on your property in the county in which it was recorded. It would be similar to the judgment when it's docketed as a lien against the real property of the judgment there in the county. It provides that satisfaction is to be made to the agency and places the responsibility in the state agency when that debt is satisfied to record a satisfaction of the warrant in any county clerk lien record in which the warrant was recorded. This is similar to what was discussed with respect to House Bill 296 for judgments. The bill also provides that an agency may release the lien, which is to say that it doesn't satisfy the debt, but it says it will release and no longer claim a lien against a particular piece of property. And the state agency may do that because there may be other liens that are prior have a higher priority as opposed to the state's lien, and that there would be nothing left to collect, and rather than cloud the title for a transfer of the property, the agency will just release the lien and look elsewhere for security to satisfy the debt. Once again, the only the officer or agency that issues the order or warrant can release it. Section 4 of
I'm Representative Springer. Can I just kind of think out loud here for a minute and get your response? I'm trying to think of a situation. It could be, I guess we could be talking about commercial property as well as what we think of as kind of residential or single ownership property. Is that the case?
That's correct. Okay.
I'm just trying to think what happens now, what would happen, assuming we have a property transfer and everyone's kind of sitting around while this thing hopefully is going through escrow, and a search turns up, you know, a lien somewhere, or maybe several liens from different sources. What can you tell me the process a little bit in terms of, you've got the parties trying to close the deal on both sides, you've got the escrow agent you know, in the middle here. It seems to me like there's probably some pressure building on these agencies to sort of you know, not foul up the deal or the transfer by, if you will, quote, withdrawing their lien. What rules exist to sort of deal with that situation, or what procedures govern that kind of situation?
To my knowledge, Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, there aren't any statutory provisions that would require the agency to release the lien. It's a matter of discretion. There's someone here in the audience from the Department of Revenue who might be a little more familiar
okay.
with that process,
okay.
if you would prefer to direct the question to him.
I don't pretend to have any experience except very briefly in support enforcement, where, you know, it would come to my attention that people, particularly those to whom a support obligation was due at time of transfer of property, a lot of times those individuals would be approached and sort of, if you will, talked into signing a satisfaction to clear the title, and those people would be left with a promissory note which was worth nothing. I hope, you know, obviously I don't think that applies when the state's interests are being asserted here, but I'm just aware there's a lot of pressure at that point when someone's trying to close a deal and some lien kind of comes drifting in from somewhere, and I'm just maybe need to talk with the revenue folks to learn how, if there's a withdrawal or someone backs off from that lien, just how it is that's accomplished.
Mr. Chairman, I might be able to help. I think this case here would be come up most commonly in a bankruptcy situation in which an individual owes tax liens and owes everything else, and everybody files a lien on a piece of property, and the property can be sold, but it isn't going to satisfy all the liens. And if the state's interest was way down the line when they finally filed their lien, you many times go to those lower liens or junior liens, whichever you want to talk to them, and say, you're not going to get your money anyway. You're going to have to get your money some other way, because when we get through selling the assets of the property, there's nothing left to pay you. But we cannot sell that property because we can't give a clear title with all these little liens down here. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get your money anyway. So what it's really saying to the state is, if I interpret it, is that at that point you could go to the state of Oregon on a tax lien and say, you're not going to get your money from the sale of this property, can we get you to remove your lien voluntarily and go after the money some other way, so that I could sell the property and give clear title to the new buyer. And I guess I can only say is that there would come a time when everybody was in agreement, but if I understand it right now, an agency wouldn't have any authority to do that. Under present law, an agency couldn't remove their lien.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, the agencies that have the authority to, at least with respect to tax warrants, they do have authority within their own statutes to release liens. if they come to the conclusion that you described, that with respect to that particular piece of property, there are enough prior liens that by the time the senior liens get paid off, there's not going to be anything left, and all they're doing is plowing title and preventing a transaction from going through. In those cases, they would release the lien. It doesn't extinguish the debt. This means they're going to have to look to other property. They may have a lien on some other property that then is going to be more fruitful. They'll have a superior interest in.
Right now, under present law, they cannot do that. Is that correct, Elizabeth?
Present law, the agency is off. But I know the Department of Revenue is for its tax liens, and I assume that other agencies are as well. That they can create a tax lien, they can release a tax lien. The purpose of these provisions is to make clear that generally orders and warrants can be released only by the agency or officer that records them in the first place. And part of the reason that these provisions are in the bill the way they are is that orders and warrants have been piggybacked on the judgment statute from Chapter 18 for years. When they were being docketed in the judgment docket and being treated as if they were a judgment, that was all right. It worked out okay. But with the separation of those warrants and orders out of the judgment docket and into this lien record, which is in the custody of a different official, and it's a different physical kind of record, too. It's a recording mechanism that the counties go through. And if they're using microfilm, they're taking a picture, they're giving it a book and page number like a mortgage record or a deed record, rather than writing down in a docket that there's this judgment. So they felt that it was appropriate at this time to pull out and separately state those qualities that are characteristic of these orders and warrants, and not continue to have people trying to guess, well, when are they like a judgment and when aren't they? So that's the purpose for this, is to make clear that they can be satisfied only by the agency or officer that issues them, and released only by the agency or officer issues. Section 4 of the bill on page 3 is also a transitional provision for previous orders and warrants that were docketed before 1983. Before the county clerk lien record came into existence, they went into, or they were supposed to go into, the judgment docket. And when we were trying to, in discussing this with the court administrator's staff, we were trying to figure out a way that those warrants and orders could be removed from the judgment docket in some orderly way, so that the old ones would be out too, as well as those new ones that have been reported since 1983. And Section 4 was the best I could do at the time. There have been some other questions and possibilities raised that we would, I think, like some direction from the committee on once we've got a clear picture of what the bill is doing. Section 4 provides for a voluntary transfer by a state agency of a warrant or order from the judgment docket to the county clerk lien record. And the section will protect the status of the lien that was created when the order or warrant was originally docketed. If it's a superior lien and there are things that have been docketed after, it would maintain that superiority, that place in line with respect to that property. But it would be able to be removed from the judgment docket to the county clerk lien record. And this is because the judgment docket gets purged every 10 years. Judgments expire unless they're renewed. We have a provision in the bill that provides that these things don't expire, the orders and warrants don't expire because the debt never goes away. So that's what Section 4 is an attempt to do, provide for that transfer. Section 5 amends ORS 293-250, which I described a little bit before, concerning the Department of Revenue and other agency assistance program. Collecting delinquent accounts that are owed to state agencies. And the new language is on page 4 of the bill. And it would allow the Department of Revenue to issue a warrant in order to collect any of these amounts that are due. And the attributes that go along with that are that they could use the administrative garnishment remedy that agencies do not now have access to. That's a major feature of that. Section 6 amends ORS 29375, which is the administrative garnishment statute. And it's amended on lines 12 and 13 on page 4 of the bill to specifically cross-reference ORS 293250 so that it's clear that this remedy is available to the Department of Revenue because it is authorized to issue a warrant to collect the debt. Sections 7 through 67 of the bill are what I would categorize generally as conforming amendments. There are a lot of places in the statutes governing state agency activities that refer to warrants being docketed or orders being docketed, and because they are now required to be recorded in the county clerk lien record, these sections, one of the things they do is to change all those terms so that they're the same, so it always says this is going to be recorded in the county clerk lien record.
Well, it's really back to section 6, so
maybe I could do this one.
Yeah.
Two more sentences.
Sure.
That. Other portions of, or other sections in that last part of the bill attempt to provide for a uniform method for state agencies to issue their notices of civil penalties, to record them in the county clerk lien record, and to proceed upon them in order to have them be paid. Without these amendments, there are several different ways different agencies are required to pursue payment. Some of them have to go to court. Some of them have to ask the Attorney General to go to court. And some of them already have the ability, after an administrative hearing, determining how much penalty is owed and that the person is liable for it and the availability for appeal, that they can docket it and it constitutes a judgment, and the statute then refers to Chapter 18 references that deal with judgments. So I've attempted to clean up those sections by providing that any agency that's going to assess a civil penalty has to go through a contested case type hearing under the Administrative Procedure Act, or if it's not subject to the Administrative Procedure Act, under that agency's own contested case statutes, that upon the order becoming final after the appeal period has expired or if it's been sustained on appeal, that the agency can then record it in the county clerk lien record and eliminate the reference to the judgment docket, and that they can then pursue it as if they had a judgment. And again, the recording creates a lien on any real property in the county in which it's recorded. Well, that's basically what the bill does, if I can answer any questions.
Let me go back to Section 6. The legislature and the governor, by signing into law in line 13, and I doubt those statutes were all put in all at once. They've sort of been individual policy decisions as to whether the state ought to be collecting monies from, whether it's like the HARP program or property tax program, debts owed to the state. And so we set priority through itemizing which areas we're going to allow this attachment. I think the state scholarship for student stuff also might be in there, student aid program. What we're doing here is we're saying anybody that owes any state agency any amount of money, this avenue is going to be open to that state agency to collect the bill owed. Is that right?
Not exactly, Mr. Chairman. The effect of the amendment on 913 is only to permit an agency that may issue a warrant to use the administrative garnishment provision. And 293-250 is amended in the previous section, Section 5. That is a section that deals with the Department of Revenue's other agency assistance program. So the effect of these two sections together is that the Department of Revenue will be able, when it issues a warrant on behalf of another state agency's debt, to then pursue collection through the administrative function. But this does not open up the collection to all state agencies. If the Board of Optometry assesses a civil penalty against someone, unless they assign the debt to the Department of Revenue and the department determines it's necessary to garnish in order to collect the debt, the Board of Optometry can't use the administrative garnishment provision. It's limited to those agencies that are permitted to issue warrants.
They could do it directly, but every agency could go through revenue then?
What they can do directly is get a writ of garnishment from the court. My understanding is that the notice of continuous garnishment, which provides for taking a partial amount of a paycheck that this employer that's being garnished, isn't available.
It's not.
In the writ of garnishment from the court. It's a one-time garnishment. If you don't get your debt satisfied, then you have to go and get another one. And may I introduce to the committee Bruce Loudon, who's in the collections division of the Department of Revenue and has substantial experience in the other agency collection program. And I may be getting a little out of my expertise, and he can provide some better answers.
Did you want to address this issue?
For the record, my name is Bruce Loudon from the Department of Revenue Collection Division. I think one thing that needs to be clear here when we're talking about the other agency account program is that it's a voluntary program for the state agency and for the Department of Revenue. So there's a definite distinction there. Once a debt is assigned to the other agency account program or to the Department of Revenue, then they have full authority for collection of that debt. And the only thing that this bill will be doing, the program will remain the same. The only thing that this will be doing is it will give the other agency warrant authority to issue a restraint warrant where that taxpayer refuses to pay. They'll be able to docket that warrant and then file a garnishment just as we do in our personal income tax, withholding tax program, and any of the other tax programs that we are using.
Representative Bellamy.
And it'd be, in essence, and it'd be the Department of Revenue who could do this for the Department of Optometry. Could actually garnish either wages.
Representative
the Department Bellamy. Of Optometry couldn't.
That's correct, Representative Bellamy. We would be issuing the warrant. The warrant would be in the name of the Department of Revenue, and we would be the one that would be filing the garnishment against that taxpayer. These are only on cases where the taxpayer has not voluntarily paid the obligation. We always give them that option.
And this, and generally we're speaking about small amounts?
The debts could be anywhere from, the minimum is $25. That's the tolerance of the debts that will be assigned to the other agency program. And some of the debts go up into the thousands of dollars. I mean, I've seen them as high as $15,000 or $20,000. That's the exception. The average balance in the program is $680. But there are some on both ends of the program.
When you say they go as high, let's say it's over $5,000, the agency at that point could ask the Attorney General to issue a warrant?
Well, at that point it would be cost effective to ask the Attorney General to go into court
for a judgment.
And get some court process to levy and execute or get a writ of garnishment from the court.
It would be very helpful for me, Elizabeth, if you could give me three or four examples of the smaller debts that the agency tried to collect. And I don't want to know names or anything, but just examples of how much and why it was not worth the process for them to go to the Attorney General and get a judgment. Bye.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, if I may speak in generalities, I think I can give you some examples from the statute that might be of assistance. Many agencies that have the ability to assess civil penalties are given a limit in the statute that authorizes them to assess those penalties, and the limit may be $250. Maximum fine you can impose under this section is $250.
Can you give me an example? Just give me an example of somebody that was assessed for what reason, $250.
I can't give you an actual fact situation because I work with the Revenue Department primarily, and there's another section in the Department of Justice that works with other agencies. But the information that I've been given is that many agencies are limited in the amount that they can assess, and that there's a certain minimum cost to going into court, filing appropriate papers in order to get some enforcement, and it eats up whatever they would collect.
How about an OSHA example? I mean, would that employer is violating OSHA law and is red tagged and is assessed a $200 penalty for not having a guard on a machine? Is that what we're talking about, for example?
And you're saying that I was fined $200, and I just said, no, I'm not going to pay it. You're telling me that under the present law, for $200, you'd have to go to the Attorney General and ask for a judgment through a court, which isn't worth it. And under present law, after I get tired of keeping it on my books, then eventually I turn it over to the Department of Revenue. And if I didn't have any money coming from taxes, the Department of Revenue has to just keep trying to collect that forever.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, Representative Bellamy, if I could address that. The way that the system works now is the agency assigns it to the Department of Revenue, who at some time will either collect that liability or determine that that account is uncollectible. When that determination is made that the debt is uncollectible, the Department of Revenue sends that debt back to the State Scholarship Commission, the college, the Health Science Center, Workers' Compensation, Builders Board, and that debt is in turn charged off.
Oh.
The way the statute is written, that then that debt is in turn assigned back under ORS 293.240 to the Department of Revenue, and it's put into a holding pot. So actually, in essence, the bulk of your collection has stopped once the department has determined it's not feasible.
So what you're telling us is if you don't want to pay your fine, the poor agencies are going to have a mess trying to just literally physically keep track of where that is, because we don't allow any way to get rid of it.
That's correct.
I think I have a fair idea of when a case is too big for the AG's office to handle, so they contract it out. I was wondering when is it large enough for the AG to handle it?
Well, again, I'm not directly handling this application. I'd be happy to go back to the agency and get a prospect if you would like that.
Yeah, I would. I'd like some kind of an idea if we're talking about the $5,000 case or the $2,000 case or something like that. That was a political comment that I made earlier. You don't have
to.
Kind of be nice for the witnesses. I guess, is there any way, Ms. Stockdale, that we could get sort of at least I would be interested in having a sheet that sort of summarizes the policy questions that should be addressed in 2215 and sort of where they are. I think you've done a very, very thorough job of just presenting the bill to us. I just want to make sure that I have some time to look and talk to some folks about the policy questions that are involved versus the form and style or cleanup or clarification issues. Is that too much to ask? I mean, I don't want to burden you.
It's not too much to ask, definitely. Okay. I'd be happy to do it and provide it to your staff.
Yeah, I think.
We have a work session scheduled on Friday.
Yeah, cool.
And
you want to put that, do you think we ought to delay that for a little time? Or?
Well, I think I'd like to ask for your sense of what would be the better way to handle it. There are two or three policy problems connected with the bill that aren't dealt with in the bill that really need to be answered, and I'd like to have the opportunity to turn them in so that they can be addressed. And they arose, again, out of discussions that we've had with the courts, and we come up with a problem and one or two different ways to go, and we'd like the committee's guidance in which way to go before drafting them. So in the context of this presentation, if I could just identify those and then also list them with the summary that you just asked for. How much time do you need before the work session in order to be able to consider that.
Well, perhaps the way we should view Friday then is a continued hearing rather than a work session. And would that be enough time for you to...
I don't we list it as a possible work session, because if she brings us two different issues, then we can decide which one she should draft for us.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think we'll list it as public hearing and possible work session.
Let me ask one more question on the garnishing of wages. That bothers people for good reason. Does the Department of Revenue charge the agency when they turn an account over to the Department of Revenue?
Representative Bellamy, the other agency program is self-supporting, so the cost of administering the program is in turn charged back to participating agencies. And it may be beneficial at this time, if I may, to give you a little bit of the scope or the size of what the program is.
And let me just, before you do that, before I lose this point, would the practical aspect be that we would not really be encouraging the state agencies to use this procedure, because in essence they should be trying to collect the money themselves, because even though they go through your department, they're going to actually get back less money?
I don't believe that's the actual case. Most of the agencies, other than...